Well, I can't believe that Christmas is less than a week away, and before we know it, it's going to be the new year. And so, just as we're journeying throughout this season, it can oftentimes feel like that, right? That things are just flying by. I know for me, it's like, I cannot believe it's time already. There is so much stuff with getting kids to, or maybe there's that project that you've been asked to get done by a certain time, or a homework assignment that needs completed, and there's no time for all the things that need to get done at home, like laundry or housework or grocery shopping, making appointments, and the list goes on, and it's just nonstop for us. But there's the need to slow down, and that's what I want to encourage us to do, is just to slow down and take some time during this season to truly engage with and once again know the wonder of the season and the one whom this is all about. The one whose rightful place is at the center of it, and that's Jesus. And so, like even this morning, as we take time on Sundays to come and to gather together and to worship in it, one of the things that we're saying is, like, here, this is important. And I'm setting aside time, and I want to slow down, and I don't want to miss what it is that's most important. And we're saying here, a first priority, we're coming to worship our Savior. And so throughout these weeks, thus far, my hope has been that we'd take in the wonder and amazement of the story of Jesus' birth and all that it meant. And with that, as we do so, what does it do as it's brought before us again? Is it requires of us a response. It requires of us a decision. And what do we do with Jesus as we understand who he is? Jesus coming, it shook up the world and all of history. With his coming, everything changed. And so the question of who Jesus is and why he came is a big deal. What is it that's so amazing about him? That's what we want to find out. That's what we're learning. And as we go through this story, as we come to it every December, whenever we come around and we hear this story again and again, we are confronted again with the glory of Christmas and who Jesus is and what does it demand of our lives? How will it affect our lives? And so this morning, let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, and it's some of it we have read this morning already together as a congregation, but it tells about how the shepherds, when they're out in the fields, and the unexpected happens, and an angel, along with a whole multitude of angels, shows up to announce the birth of Jesus. And so let's read this familiar part of the story again together. It says this: "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went and with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us now through your word. Lord, may we just have open hearts and ears to hear what it is that you have to say for us now, because what we are reminded of this morning and always is that this is great news. It's the greatest news of all for everyone. In your name we pray, amen. Well, as we come to this passage, we're told in verse 8, that it's nighttime, and the shepherds, they're out in the fields, and they're watching their sheep. They're doing what shepherds do. They are protecting them. They are feeding their sheep. They're watching over their feet. It's not like they're doing something special in that night. They're doing their job. They're just about the work that they've been given to do, and one commentator says it this way. He says, the shepherd's task was not only constant, but also dangerous. For in addition, he had to guard the flock against wild animals, especially against wolves. And there were always thieves and robbers ready to steal sheep. And so the work that the shepherds had to do, it was a tough job. And it was a job where yeah, they probably stunk, right? And they did not smell good. But they were out there and they were doing some hard work tending their sheep. And in that culture, they weren't high up on the totem pole, but it's not like they had any special privilege necessarily or resources and power. They were likely the peasants who were out doing the hard work in the fields, just working day in and day out to meet their needs. And that's exactly what they were up to. And in the midst of the ordinariness of their lives and what they were up to, probably just another night, what happens? The unexpected. It happens. And sometimes we like when the unexpected happens. Sometimes it's awesome and good things happen and it come out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, it's hard to believe, but sometimes the unexpected happens and it's not what you want to hear. Well, the unexpected happens here, and an angel shows up, and we're told that the glory of the Lord shows up. Can you imagine what that must have been like? These guys are out working in the fields at night, and here the glory of the God of the universe shows up before them. I can't imagine what that must be like. It must have been so unbelievably amazing. Talk about a surprise. Talk about a life-changing experience that you won't forget. We aren't told that these guys did anything special that caused any of this happened. It wasn't about them. But in a little bit, we're going to be told the reason why they have the pleasure of this occasion happening with them. But I'm with them. It says they were filled with great fear. If something like this happens and the glory of the God of the universe shows up before you, I think I'm afraid. It's a fearful thing. It should be. Like, what's going on here? But the angel begins and says very quickly, this great fear that you are experiencing right now is going to turn and it's going to be replaced with great joy. Because something great has happened. Something amazing has happened. And maybe right now you're thinking, I could handle something like this, some great news, some really good news that is unbelievably hard to believe. And what is it that replaces this fear that they are having with joy? What's that news that they are experiencing? Here's the good news that the angel has to share that changes everything. It's the great news that is for everyone. It's the great news that is what Christmas is all about. Verse 11, here's the news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Someone's been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Talk about a birth announcement. This is like the birth announcement of all birth announcements. Who is this baby that's been born? He says it is a Savior who has been born. That means this baby that is born is one who saves, and there are people then who need saving. And this is not only some Savior, but he is Christ the Lord, and they would know by the words that are used here that what is being talked about, this Christ who is the Lord, is the promised Messiah who they have been waiting for and waiting for. Just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold long before this, you know, see what he writes here and what they announce is exactly through the prophet Isaiah what he had announced was going to take place in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and what's so great about him? Here's what's so great about him, as the prophet Isaiah writes, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He's the one whom we can go to who is wise. He knows the best way. He knows the direction that we should go whenever we don't know which way we should go. When we don't know which way to go, we can lean on him. We can depend on him. We can trust him to lead us rightly. Our Savior, he was born in a manger and he took on humanity. He understands our every need. He understands the struggles that we face. He understands the pain and the hurt. He understands the grief. Everything he understands. But not only is he our wonderful counselor, but he is our mighty God, who is the one whom everything has been created by. Everything has been created through him, for him, and for his glory. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the church in Colossae in Colossians 1:15-17, speaking of Jesus. This is who Jesus is, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is our mighty God. And so he is our wonderful counselor, he is our mighty God, and he is greater than any other, and he is our everlasting Father. He protects and he loves like any good father does. And he is everlasting, and he is our Prince of Peace. He's the one who brings peace to the nations. He's the one who brings peace into our worlds of our pain and our hurt, into our relationships, our families. He's the only one who can bring peace to our troubled hearts. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. Do you hear how long his reign is going to last? It is going to be forevermore. It shall never end. That's who our hope is. That's who this child is. The Lord of hosts is with us. This week, just been reminded of Psalm 46, where I've shared this a few times, but it's been what's on my brain. In Psalm 46, where at the beginning of it, it's talking about how, you know, the Lord is our refuge, and then it goes into this few verses where it talks about where things are really hard and things are going crazy in the world and all around. Here, let's just read it together. Psalm 46. It's a familiar passage that we read. And he says, the psalmist writes, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of sea. You know, all these things, it's like everything's going, getting turned upside down. But in the midst of it all, God is our refuge and strength. And then, as he ends, it says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, but he's with us. And as I was with Mike on Tuesday, and we were sharing, there was a passage where we just read it together in the midst of this, you know, just to be still and know that he's God, he is with us, and then to think and to remember that as we're going through the Advent season, that Jesus is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's with us. He's with us through it all, even whenever things are crazy. And that's what we celebrate this Advent. That's why it's great news for everyone. The Lord of hosts has done it. He had come and arrived, and now it was time to get the word out. And look where they're going to find him. Where is it that this Messiah, this one who is God in flesh, is going to be found, born? Verse 12. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. It's the contrast between who Jesus was in his beginnings couldn't be any greater, that this is the Son of God. It's God himself in flesh, leaving heaven and all that is his, and he's being born and laid in a manger. And so that's the news. And so what's our response to that whenever we understand who it is that Jesus is? The angel is joined by a whole host of angels praising God. That's appropriate, right? And what are they saying in verse 14? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And once again, what is it that he brings? Peace. He's bringing peace to those with whom he is pleased. God's mercy is falling on humanity. We don't deserve it one single bit, but it's all because of God's mercy that we have any chance of peace and hope in our lives. And then you read in verse 15 and 16, if the angels show up and tell me something like this, I'm going to go and check it out. And that's what they do, these shepherds. They go. They say, let's go see this thing that has happened that God has told us about. And they find things just as they had been told it was going to be. And whenever they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them. What do? But they go and they get the word out and they tell others. That's the job that they've been given, to go and let the world know. And in verse 18, as they get the word out, what happens? People hear the news. They're amazed by it. They're in wonder of it. People cannot believe it. Verse 19, Mary, what's she doing? She's treasuring all these things up in her heart and is pondering it all. And back to the shepherds in verse 20, they just cannot stop glorifying and praising God. It's changed their lives for all that they had seen and heard. It's that simple. This is what it's all about. And as we go throughout all the season with all the decorations and the gatherings and the gift giving and all of the fun things that come along with the season, we need to get back to the center of it all, of the fundamentals. What is it that Christmas is all about? It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus coming, becoming man, becoming a baby, and going from the cradle to the cross where he suffered and died for you and me, for sinners, so that we could be saved and find hope, so that we could know joy, peace, and love, and these things that we know it's all about. Let's get back to the center of it, and maybe for some of us, it's just good to strip away some of these things that maybe we can get lost in, and to be reminded of fundamentally, what is it all about? It's about Jesus. I was talking with Mike, some of his last words were like, tell people it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, that's what everybody needs to know about, and that they would come to know him. And Mike in that got it right, and a great reminder for every single one of us. Let's not miss it, that it's all about Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? You know, that's what it's all about. That's really the question that matters, is how do we respond to Jesus in our lives? He's the one who brings the greatest of all joy. He's the one who is the long-awaited, promised Messiah. He's the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's the great shepherd who left the circles. He left all the riches and comfort of heaven to save us. Save us who, like sheep, have gone astray, who have turned every single one of us to our own ways. And this is great news for everyone, because there is joy to be had. Jesus matters because into the unrest, into the worry, into the troubled hearts, into the fear, the concerns of all of our lives, Jesus comes with, and with his coming, all of that can be replaced by the greatest of joys that our hearts can know. Jesus, as in the Gospel of John is recorded, he said this, truly, truly, I say to you, John 16:20 and forward from there, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. And so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice. And no one can take your joy from you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy. It's all about joy. That's what he wants to bring to our lives. And that's what he brings to our lives. Guys, we have nothing to fear because the Savior of the world has come to seek and save those who are lost. And if we'll trust him, we can know the peace that surpasses all understanding, even when it doesn't make sense. That this child was born matters now because we can have joy unspeakable no matter what the circumstances of our lives are, no matter what. And there's great news for everyone because now we can have a confidence as we go forward, as we walk in this life, as we live our lives. We can have confidence because this child was born matters because one more time God has shown himself to be true to his word. We can trust his word no matter what. He said he was going to come, and he did. He said that he will come again, and he will. He says one day all will be right, and we look forward to that day. He says that he'll be with us no matter what, wherever we walk, and we can bank on it. And because of this great news that there is for everyone, we can treasure it. There is something to treasure. We have a reason to praise. We have a reason to tell and make much of God. And we have a job to do in telling others. Who is it this week? Just talking with someone, just about, you know, having a conversation with a neighbor and just wanting to be more faithful and getting to share the hope that there is in Christ. That's what you do whenever you find something good. You know, I've eaten and I've had plenty of wonderful desserts here recently. A lot of baked things, you know, I like them. And man, you start talking about them and saying, this is good. Oh, this one's good. It's what you do whenever you find something that is so good that changes your life, that affects you. You want people to know. And so let's go and let's tell. Who would have dreamed this is the greatest news ever? What are you going to do with this joyous news? As we come to a close this morning, this week, think about how you've come to know Jesus. For many of us, I would say the majority of us, if not all of us, have come to know Christ because of someone else finding joy in Jesus. And they're coming and they're telling you about him. And so let's do it. Let's keep on telling. See what happens when you choose to find joy in Jesus. You start telling people about him. You can't keep it in. And so I want to encourage you to slow down. Slow down and reflect on Christ, the one whose birth we celebrate. He's the light of the world who stepped into the darkness, into the hurt and the pain, into the hard things. And he comes with the purpose of bringing peace, hope, joy, and love. And just like the angel showed up and the unexpected happened to these ordinary shepherds, don't think he won't do the same for you. That's what he does. That's the beauty of what Christmas is all about. Our God came near to each one of us. It's because of his love for us that he came into a dark and broken world through his son, Jesus, just as he had promised he would. Our joy doesn't depend on our circumstances. Our joy is in Jesus. He's God with us. He came to save people from our sins. Listen again. For he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Guys, we're sinners. That's you and me. That's why he came. He came for us. And sin is what keeps us from God, from having a relationship with us, but he loved us so much that he made a way for us to be forgiven and saved through his shed blood at the cross. And so this morning, what will you do with him? What do you do with Jesus? Will you trust him? Have you placed your faith and your hope in him as your Lord and Savior? I pray that you have. If not, I invite you to turn to him in faith and repentance. That's why he came. That's what Christmas is all about. And he promises that if you turn to him and you place your faith in him and surrender your life to him, that he will receive you, that he will welcome you into his family, that he'll give you a new life, that there is forgiveness to be had. So how do you respond? Are you trusting in him? And if you are, who are you telling? Who are you telling this great news to? Let's not miss out on what it's all about this Christmas. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning, as we gather together in this place, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for coming. We thank you that you're going to come again. We thank you for the peace that we can know and experience in the midst of these times. Lord, you know our hearts. And you know what it is that we're journeying through right now. We just come to you and we ask for your presence in our lives. Lord, is there someone that you're putting in our minds right now? Maybe it's someone that we're going to see at a family gathering or with a circle of friends or with our neighbors who we know doesn't yet know you. know your grace. God, help us to be faithful to go and tell. Lead us. Lord, we just thank you, and we come to you now, and may you be glorified in us as we go. In your name we pray. Amen.